Hey, if you're listening to this, you are listening to the free feed via Apple or whatever. So, you know, hey, thanks for listening. This episode's a couple weeks old. It's about those who wish me dead. We got new episodes up. We got one coming on Friday about Army of the Dead. And then there's also an episode up about The Woman in the Window. We got two Netflix hits for you coming up. Yeah, if you want the newest episodes, if you don't want to wait a couple weeks, if you don't want to listen to this annoying intro, reminding you that the only way you get to keep listening to the show is if we keep feeding Vic's Beaujolais habit, make sure to sign up for the show at the Patreon. That's subbeacon.com. Subbeacon.com, all one word. We're on Patreon. As little as a dollar a month, or as much as $1 million a month. If one person chipped in $1 million a month, we could all quit our jobs and we could just do this full time. We do like 10 shows a week for you, you know, at that price point. So, sign up at the Patreon, subbeacon.com, and we'll see you over there in the comments, okay?
Hey, stop! I'm not gonna hurt you.
I wanna see where the blood's coming from.
It's not my blood.
You in trouble? Anyone else in trouble?
My dad said if anything happened, I should find someone I could trust. Are you someone I can trust?
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Jonathan V. Lass and Sonny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com, you'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. Gentlemen, how are we? JVL.
Victorino, I have so many things to talk about.
I know, so do I, but I'm parceling them out for the next few shows, because you never know.
When I was in third grade, I discovered that the phone company had put letters on the alphanumeric keypad for the first time. It had never occurred to me that this was a thing that was there, right?
Like, yeah, and or what the purpose of it was,
right.
Or you just never noticed it.
And so one night, when I was left to my own devices, I picked up the phone. And I just started spelling out words with the alphanumeric keypad. I like, this was during the height of the ET craze. And so I think I spelled out something like ET and Elliot are best friends or something like that. And
like you would press the buttons on the phone.
Right. To spell out, you know, the alpha. And the phone sort of went dead for 3 seconds and then it started ringing. And started ringing in a weird dial tone, and then somebody answered speaking a foreign language. And I was like,
"You dialed?
What?"
I hope that didn't start off with the numbers 011.
And so I clearly had somehow dialed out internationally, and I remember my parents were like, "That phone call cost us $7 because I hung up right away. I believe G Money did something similar with my Roku remote, because this week, my True motion smoothing was turned back on. And I don't know which of the submenus he activated it from. And I've been going through and trying to find it and turn it off.
Okay, explain to normal people what is that thing that you just said?
Soap opera. The soap opera stuff that you get on television.
Soap opera effect on your TV that they have set to make it look good in a store.
Which is, for some dumb reason, the default setting, and it should
well, because
be.
That's, I mean, it's the default setting because that's what they have in stores.
It's
because it's like super bright and super, the motion is super smooth.
But it looks like a home movie versus
so it's
a motion picture.
Yeah, so I need to at some point find 10 or 15 minutes to sit and systematically go through all of the different various submenus to find out what combination of buttons he pushed to bring this thing back out, because I killed the True Motion 5 minutes after installing this television.
True Motion.
What kind of Sunny, TV do you have?
I have the TCL Roku. Yeah. Sunny, here's a question. If we set two televisions in front of Vic, one with motion smoothing on and one with the motion smoothing not on, do you think he could pick out which was which?
Yeah, assuming we weren't watching soccer or something. Yes.
Is this the same as pan and scan?
Yes, same thing. It's just a new name for pan and scan.
I knew it.
TVs are so weird like that, man. I was watching something today that I'm going to be reviewing this week in my newsletter, and it was it's a dark movie. It's lots at night, lots of shadows and stuff. And I was messing around with the settings a little bit to make it a little bit brighter because I was watching it during the day, so there was light. And my TV, the black levels on my TV are like black album black. It's like the black paint that you put on stealth bombers to make sure nobody can see right. them black. So any light makes it reflect like kind of badly, and it makes it a little harder to see. So I just started like I just put in some of the preset settings, and on my TV there are two settings. Well, there's like filmmaker mode, which turns all the motion smoothing off, puts it on, you know, all the Christopher Nolan approved settings.
Ooh.
But then there's cinema user and cinema home. And I was messing around with these to try and figure out which one was right. And one of them has a like motion smoothing built into it as a preset. Yeah. I was just like, why? That's not cinema. That's TV. Don't do that. Don't do that. So anyway, long story short, all of these things are very tricky. There's probably what probably happened is he knocked some preset version, like yes. preset thing yes. on that I has it like correct. Hidden deep in the subroutine in the of whatever. Recesses.
Sunny, whatever I have a question. Thing. In your new fancy OLED with the filmmaker mode, the Christopher Nolan yeah. filmmaker mode, does that also muddy up the dialogue for you as well?
Yes.
Excellent.
It's like somebody actually comes to your house and punches you in each ear and then starts playing. That's how it works.
Yeah,
you know,
so
it's even better in the Michael Mann version if you get the Michael Mann levels of sound.
In the Michael Mann version, all the characters sound like Gong Li in Miami Vice.
So racist.
So
that's not racist. She just sounds ridiculous. She's a perfect, Chinese national
perfect,
raised in Cuba
English.
Speaking English.
No
it was
if
ridiculous.
If I were blind, I'd say, oh.
J-Pod. I remember J-Pod's review of that for the Weekly Standard was like, it was literally, I think it was just 600 words on Gong Li's accent.
Yeah.
And that's all I remember from it.
Now, look, I don't want to tell you guys what you have to talk about in this section of the show. You're big boys. You can do whatever you want.
But before you do that, JVL, let me just jump into this. I just wanted to say, when you were talking about calling the number and seeing what happens, it reminded
me. You did that too, and you got a sex line?
It was great. It was intentional, actually. But no, you know what I called? I called, as a little kid, I called the movie theater to ask, like, you know, like, because you want to see when a movie was playing.
When is Star Wars?
But you know, so you pick it up, and it's in the middle. It's on a loop. Mm-hmm. The number, and it was for anybody who remembers in Thomas River's place called Cinema Alley, and I was just curious, so because you see the number in the paper, you call it, and you think it's a real person on the other line, but of course it just picks up in the middle of wherever you are on the loop, and if you missed it, you have to listen to the whole thing again. And I just I remember asking, I panicked, and I thought I had to say something, and you know what? A movie I saw posters for a movie at the time called The Onion Field, and older listeners will remember whatever year it was. I don't remember what year it was. It was The Onion Field, and I panicked, and I said, is The Onion Ring playing? And that's all I said. And then, no answer.
So this is going to, the young people listening to this will be shocked, and they won't understand how this worked. But the way it worked back then was that the movie theater had a phone, and it was hooked up to a tape recorder. And the tape recorder played an actual tape. You called, and it answered automatically, and the tape just started playing from wherever it was.
I would have loved to get that job, but go ahead.
But the best part of this is that in order to save costs, the movie theater would use the same tape for thousands and thousands of recordings. And so the voice degradation, which already was being done on, you know, audio tape, done over analog phone lines, by the time you could Star Clue, the Flending Sea of 6:30, Right. And, you know, such were the days.
I remember calling. It was like Seaview Square Mall. And that one had like eight. It was a big deal because it had like eight theaters. It was a multiplex. Hmm. And the voice on the other end was like, you could clear, it was a teenager who couldn't, you know, like who just didn't give a shit. And yeah, and it's a long thing. It's a long reading. But of course, when I think about it, it's great because that's your voice. You know, you could just do the whole thing. But they were so bored out of their minds because you have to do all the times for all the movies. And then it's like, you know, whatever. Anyway.
One other thing that I wanted to say about it. There was
Can I question?
Go ahead.
Because this is all well before my time. In my day, I just looked at the newspaper for the listings.
You could do that too.
I don't understand. I don't understand what you guys are doing calling. But the did you guys have movie phone back then? Was that a thing, or was that only
way before movie phone?
So this is not movie phone. This is before movie phone. Okay.
No. Yeah.
Movie phone was the future.
Okay. That was wild. JVL, you said you didn't want to tell us what to talk about.
I didn't want to tell you what to do, but. Sonny, if you want to talk about HBO Max and what has just happened to what might be the best streaming service or what might have been the best streaming service around and is now clearly going to become garbage, I would love to hear your thoughts. Victorino, if you want to talk about My Octopus Teacher.
No, you know, I'll save that for an outtake. But I was going to say, what did you mean by the HBO Max because it's going to be owned by...
Well,
Discovery.
So HBO Max, so basically AT&T is the latest in a long line of businesses that realize the movie business sucks. If you want to be a high margin powerhouse corporation in the United States of America, the movie business is not a good one. So AT&T is unwinding Warner Media from its... holdings. Basically, what they are doing is that I will be 100% honest with you. I don't understand exactly how this works and who owns what and whatever. But the long and the short of it is, AT&T is spinning Warner Media off into its own thing, which will merge with Discovery, the Discovery Network, which has its own channel, Discovery Plus, its own streaming service, Discovery Plus. And those two things will, I think, be something like ESPN, Hulu, Disney Plus. It will be that sort of package. There will not be a HBO Max hub within Discovery Plus. There will not be a Discovery Plus hub within HBO Max, I think. I don't know. Nobody really knows for sure. The long and the short of it is, again, AT&T was like, oh, this sucks. This business sucks. We got to get out of it. And they recently got out of the DirecTV business, taking an enormous loss.
$48 billion.
Yeah, I mean, just a huge, huge write down. So like
$80 billion once you throw in the lawyers and and the courts.
Yeah, AT&T is just getting rid of stuff. Now I'm less skeptical of this move than JVL because it was always kind of a weird fit anyway, AT&T and HBO, and the HBO Max service is the best of the streaming services. If I had to pick one, it would just be that one. But Discovery Plus is actually really good too for my wife. These are the only, if we were like you can only have two services and it's just you don't have kids, number one would be HBO Max, number two would be Discovery Plus. That's it. That's what we would have. So I'm not super you know, worried about this. The real question is what, you know, who they give it to and what they do with the actual Warner Brothers library, because HBO Max has done a decent job of like working things in from the library, working them out. They have the best lineup.
That includes DC, right, Sonny?
Yeah, Warner Brothers owns DC. Warner Media owns DC. This could mean the return. The Snyderverse could be restored. JVL, you don't know. You never know. The guy at Discovery who's going to be running things. You know, he likes to turn on a dime, baby. he could look at, you know, this whole J.J. Abrams verse and just be like, no, we need to get Zack Snyder back in charge. Because here's the interesting
one possible
thing.
Outcome.
Here's the interesting thing. Warner Brothers and AT&T have been very, very quiet about the numbers on the Snyder Cut. And there are two ways to look at that. The first is that they were terrible, and they don't want to tout a miserable failure. And the second is that they were amazing, and they don't want to tout a huge success because they were essentially strong-armed into doing it. So, I don't know. It's going to be real interesting to see what happens. I'm not terribly bullish, not terribly bearish. I'm actually weirdly more interested in what is happening with Amazon and MGM right now. There's talk, Amazon is apparently circling MGM, which has been on the block for a few months now. And the rumors floating around earlier this week were that Amazon was going to spend about $9 billion to acquire MGM, to acquire its library, but also to acquire all of the movies it has rights to.
Would that mean that Amazon would own MGM Grand?
I don't know. I don't know. I think that's a different.
Really?
I think that's a different enterprise at this point. Again, all of these things are like.
I'm going into the prime room instead of
the
champagne room. They call it the prime room.
Well, that's there's not an MGM strip club.
I know. I just threw it all in there together. Sapphire. I thought we were talking about Sapphire. I got carried away. Okay.
I think that's actually more interesting and like what it could mean for both Prime as a streaming service and MGM as a studio, and it would signal a doubling down of Amazon's commitment to its film studio that I think people were kind of questioning that it has been on slightly shaky ground. So I think that's actually a more interesting story. But again, it's hard because it's all just rumor and innuendo at this point. It's hard to say one way or the other what any of this stuff will actually end up looking like. You know, the Warner Discovery deal, really interesting. I'm fascinated to see what happens. I don't know. We don't have any actual information yet. So
you're right about the Discovery Channel and your wife, because my wife is the same way. She loves HGTV and the show about the husband and wife living down in, I think, Mississippi.
Aaron and
yes, and they're
something.
They it's Ted. Not Love It or List It, obviously, but it's like and they go to these homes in their
hometown rescue.
Hometown rescue, and I have to tell you something.
Town makeover.
I'm intrigued by her, and she is not. Yeah, I know that's the face, right? Okay, initially that's the face, and yet I'm intrigued. That's all I'm saying. She's got
careful.
A weird face, a weird profile, very that short haircut, and yet.
Something
some,
about it.
I'm something yeah. about her. Something about her.
Fixing cut. Does she have a boyish?
Yes.
Boyish
yes. Yeah. But you know. Cut? Yeah. And she's got a great accent.
A boyish
and
figure.
So, as some. All right. I wouldn't go that far. But there's something about her that I was like, mm-hmm. I could
Bill
do
Paxton.
Some. I could do some. I could do some drilling.
You got an ass
do,
like a 10-year-old boy.
I would say that.
Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I do remember that. It's a racy line. God bless Bill Paxton. May he rest in peace. But I
his
just
birthday.
See that.
His birthday was this week.
Really?
I think.
Oh. Anyway, I could just see myself, you know, drilling with her.
R.I.P.
Okay.
Oh, come on.
Anyway.
Save it for the octopus.
Oh, sorry. Very, very disappointed, by the way, and very saddened to hear about the death of Charles Grodin. I didn't know he was 86.
That is
old.
86, 87,
not,
something
not
like
that old.
I was just. Yeah,
it's not the oldest. Not the oldest person you've killed, Vic.
No, Mac. That would be Max von Sydow. Christopher Plummer. Are they both gone now?
Yeah.
Was Charles Grodin really? I feel like in the obits I saw, mm-hmm. they were like Charles Grodin from the Beethoven series.
No, that's terrible. No,
and
no,
I thought
no,
to
no,
myself,
no, no.
Wait,
he's done better.
That's what the headline on his
for?
Obit is for.
Well, there was like 20
the
Beethoven
Beethoven
movies,
movies.
Well, because I guarantee you, if you go to his IMDb page, the first thing that comes up is probably Beethoven.
Yeah, he has done so much good work over the years. I remember him. The first time I remember Charles Grodin was in the movie Heaven Can Wait with Warren Beatty, and he was having the affair with Diane Cannon, and he is fantastic. He's a villain in that. And then he plays nice guys. Remember, he was Murray Blum and Dave. And then Midnight Run, he's fantastic in that, too. Also, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm not adding anything else to this, I'm just reporting this. I'm pretty sure he is the person responsible for Nora O'Donnell becoming famous. Because he's the one who saw her on C-SPAN when she was at Roll Call. I don't know if she overlapped with you, Sonny, at Roll Call. This is before your time. No, I think she was there before you were at Roll Call. Before my time. Yeah. And he had a show on CNBC. And then they would then fly her up there to Fort Lee to do the show. And
is that Miss Chef Jeff, Nora O'Donnell?
Yes. Yes, it is.
So Vic's classmate. You know, a lot of great journalistic talents came out of the Georgetown class of 95. There is Nora O'Donnell, the anchor of the CBS Evening News, Dan Rather's chair, and Vic Mattis, who is the executive editor emeritus?
Deputy editor, weekend of content. And I spotted some great typos today.
They're basically the
same.
Peers.
We are equally
peers.
Accomplished. I don't know. I'm still waiting for my invite to talk to the kids at Georgetown. Sonny, anything else going on with you?
How's your week of freedom?
It's not a week of freedom. So Beth is in Reno. It's not a week of freedom. It's evenings of kind of freedom. I did manage to finish Resident Evil Village. In the first night that she was gone, I'm a little bit tired because I was up till one in the morning.
Is it just all zombies? It's all zombies, right?
Is that a movie or a video game?
Video game. I don't play many video games, but I really like. For some reason, I really like the Resident Evil series. I've now played the last five of them.
Wow!
So.
Wait, did you beat it in one night?
No. It took about a week stretched out over
four nights, really. He just went with no sleep.
Well, I mean, it takes like 12 hours. I mean, it's funny because people complain like, oh, these games are so short. And like real gamers finish them in like 10 hours. It takes me like 25% longer. Just take
is
whatever the actual
I have a question.
Time is. Yeah.
When you play, are you Mila Jovovich or your own character?
No, the movies are not. They do not track what is happening in the games, really. Yeah. So different universes.
Is this for your PS5?
For my PS5 on my OLED.
What is that like? Is it mind blowing? Does it feel
scary.
Like the future?
I bet you. It's
the
scary.
Thing about. I mean, the thing about. It's very smooth is the most important thing. It's weird. I play so few video games really that I'm not really a graphic snob. I grew up playing NES and SNES. So
so
anything they do now is just like magic to me.
We jump back to high school to the 14-year-old Sonny Bunch sophomore year. And we grab him from whatever video game console he's playing at the time. And we plop you down in front of this.
Yeah.
Would you feel like it was magic, and like would your eyeballs explode with how amazing it is, or would you be like, okay, that's good?
Mostly, I'd be like, "What are all those? Why do you guys keep looking at little screens in your hands? What are you doing?
Right? There's all these other things.
What's
that happening?
Why are you all pointing those things at me? Why? Right. How am I on the? What's Twitch? What's live streaming? What am I doing? It's obviously an enormous, huge difference from, you know, PlayStation 1 when I was 14, I was still probably playing Super Nintendo, frankly. But, it's huge, big, huge, big difference. It's like real life, man. Shooting people right in the face.
But it's all zombies coming at you, right?
Well, more werewolves in this game than zombies. But yeah, same basic idea.
It sounds silly to say, is it scary? But I remember when I lived alone at the Kennedy Warren, I had one of these later spinoffs of Castle Wolfenstein, and it was where, you know, you get through the Nazis and then you go through the undead.
Yeah.
I think they were undead.
Yeah.
And it was scary. I was scared. It was like, you know, it was scary.
So Resident Evil started as a survival horror game that was like into super, like really controlled the camera angle so you could only see certain things and things would pop out and scare you.
Mm-hmm.
The game has shifted towards more of an action shooter game, except the last two episodes, Resident Evil 7, I forget what the... the title. Mm-hmm. I forget what the subtitle that was.
Resident Evil Village, Resident Evil 8.
They've reverted a little more to the classic horror roots. Lots of narrow corridors. Lots of jumping out of the dark.
That's scary.
Playing this game on the OLED was amazing because it's pitch black outside. It's pitch black in my room. No, it's just it. Like it's like being in the murk. You're in the dark and in the murk. It's great.
Sounds amazing.
Terrifying. Yes.
I am doing fine.
Yeah. Everything's all right, Victorina?
Yesterday. Kate had a thing downtown.
Have you gone snorkeling recently?
No. I'll save that for later. Kate had a thing. I did a thing for work she went to. And so I decided that I would take the kid. It was down in Clarendon. So I said, I got a great idea. I'll take the kids somewhere. They've always been asking to go, and I just don't go there because it's just a little bit too far away, and it's just a lot more, find parking and stuff. But I took the kids to the Cheesecake Factory, which they haven't been to in a very long time.
Is Clarendon 10 minutes from your house?
Yeah, like I said, it's a long way away. So I go over there, and it's really about finding the parking and stuff. But
that,
I found a great
parking. It's that Cheesecake Factory is awful too. It's always packed.
Oh,
it's like
yes.
impossible
so,
to get a table.
COVID issue was yes. That's the thing, because you can't make reservations. In the olden days, you remember people would be sitting in the front and all those little those banquettes just waiting to be called, and you're there forever. And there's only so many times you can look at the display case of cheesecake.
I've never understood. Who are these people who are just going and sitting and waiting for 45 minutes to sit down at either Cheesecake Factory or Olive Garden or Outback Steakhouse or literally any of these restaurants? I don't understand it.
There's a line of and then they have an intercom. If you're outside, then you hear that, they'll call your name on a speaker.
The buzzer. They give you the buzzer.
The buzzer, yeah. You give me a buzzer because, yes. And, but it's funny because, telling the kids we're going to go to the Cheesecake Factory, JVL, it's like I told them we're going to Lebec Fan or we're going to Daniel or LeBert or Dead Kids. And they go in there, they're so excited. And my daughter said, it looks just like Disney World in there. Because you know how it's like very Epcot-ish. It's very like with the colors and things. So we go in and you get that enormous book. You know, what do you get? And I tell the kids, I said, just like
only appetizers.
Yeah,
the appetizers are big enough.
You
don't need more.
Get a small plate app or whatever. And my son's like, no, I'm just gonna get the burger. Is it big enough? I'm like, yeah, it's enormous. You get the burger and the fries. It fills up the whole plate. And so I decide that of course I'm not getting an appetizer. I'm just getting one thing. But I thought I will go healthy. Last night, and I went with the orange chicken.
Ooh, oranges are very healthy.
Orange chicken is good for you, protein. But I will say this, no joke, it is a better orange chicken than most Chinese restaurants.
This is the thing about Cheesecake Factory is that it's really good.
I don't care. It's still good.
I just was making fun of all the people who sat there and wait forever because
but if you didn't have to wait. If you didn't have to wait,
but if you didn't have to wait, it's like I used to go there all the time before screenings of movies in Friendship Heights. I would pop over, go to sit at the bar, get a salad or a burger or whatever, and then go see the movie because it's tasty. It's always good. It's always exactly the same. You know what I want? I want things to be the same.
Consistency
when I order them.
Consistency is a big deal. Consistency, service, food, whatever.
I want it dumped out of that bag and into the wok. And then on to my plate.
And then
that's
instant,
all I want.
Instant.
That's it.
So the
that's
funny thing is, I warn them, but the kids think they're starving. My son, he goes, I'm going to eat the burger anyway. I know I'm so hungry. They brought the fresh bread over and he ate a whole loaf. Like, how they give you two loaves?
He ate
the brown one that's like oatmeal honey-ish or whatever. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And of course he had like half the burger and then I had to eat part of his burger because I didn't want to waste it.
Right.
But the chicken.
You can't take it home.
You're not going to take it home. It's crispy.
Nobody takes away their food from Cheesecake Factory. You don't want everyone staring at you like, oh, look, they've got the doggy bag.
Oh, no, I don't care. I don't care. But I said, I'm not walking around with it. I'm not walking around with it. So
they failed.
But it's crispy because a lot of places it's like, soft and mushy. But I tell you, it is fantastic. And the only problem is they do, the menus, I've written about this, is it has the caloric content now.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either, Sonny, because, you know, it affects your
don't
choices.
Want to know
Instead
that.
Of getting something that you like or tastes good, you end up having to get something that's possibly healthier, and that's terrible.
Take it up with Cass Sunstein.
Yeah.
Tired of these nudges.
Nudges.
I want to be nudged. I want to be nudged back to my cardiac.
The good news is this morning, I ran 7 miles and burned 1,000 calories, so my orange chicken was only 1,000 calories. You know who'd be proud of me?
David Brooks.
Captain Bill Dwyer, I was going to say.
Oh.
You know, he's a runner. He's in training. And he's a very brave firefighter, speaking of which.
Oh!
Thank you. I used him for the transition.
A.
This week we're talking, because people are like, when are we getting to this movie? I'm looking at the clock, but I've lost track because of the thing. So anyway, this week we're talking about Those Who Wish Me Dead. Sonny, how about a big boy review? But even before that, did you see this at home on HBO Max, or did you see it in theater?
I saw it at home via a screening link.
So not even on HBO Max. But go ahead.
Not even on HBO Max. I'm glad you mentioned Captain Bill Dwyer, because I would be curious to get a good captain's take on the idea of Angelina Jolie as a smoke jumper. Because here's the thing about Angelina Jolie. She is a classic movie star. She's got a face like a porcelain doll, and you know, she has charisma, and she's got great lips, and she captures the eye. You stare at her, and you're sucked right in. The idea of her jumping out of an airplane with all 67 pounds of her. Carrying one of those giant rucksacks and parachuting into a burning forest, I don't buy it for a second. Now, this is frankly not a big problem with the movie. I almost never complain about casting, and like, honestly, it's not even really that big of a problem here for me. The bigger problem with this movie is that the whole thing feels like an elevator pitch that somebody wrote on a napkin and then forgot to fill all the details in later. So yes. here's the elevator pitch. The elevator pitch for this movie is basically, it's like, all right, it's like Firestorm meets The Client. That's it. That's the movie.
Is Firestorm the one with the firefighters who get stuck on the hill?
That's the one with Howie Long, I think.
Did I get that right?
Howie Long?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's the Howie Long movie. Anyway, I'm thinking of the Howie Long forest fire movie. That's what I'm thinking of.
It's Die Hard in a Forest.
No, but it's not Die Hard. It's not Die Hard in the Forest, because Die Hard in the Forest would be much better than this. It's Firestorm with The Client, because all right. So here's the plot of the movie. The plot of the movie is this kid, his father is killed by two guys, one of whom is Aidan Gillen, the other one is Nicholas Holt, and they have killed this man for reasons we don't really know. He knows secrets. He knows all the secrets that'll bring down. Politicians of all sorts, which we learn from Tyler Perry, who is in this movie for literally 2 minutes to explain, again, in the most generic way possible, this kid knows secrets that will bring down governors and we got to get rid of them. And I was like, oh, cool. Tyler Perry's in this. Maybe he'll show up again later. Nope. Never comes back. So anyway, this kid is stuck in the forest. Angelina Jolie has to help him. She has tension with John Bernthal, who plays a sheriff whose wife is pregnant. Yada, yada, yada. I was so disappointed in this movie. Because I like Taylor Sheridan a lot. Taylor Sheridan is the writer-director of this movie. He also wrote and directed Wind River.
Oh, I like that.
And he wrote Hell or High Water and Sicario. I love all of those movies. All of those movies we just mentioned, I like a lot. And he also does Yellowstone, which I haven't watched because it's on Paramount Network.
Those are very dark movies you mentioned.
I don't even know. But those are all very good movies. And here's what I like about those movies. All of the characters in those movies feel lived in and real, and I can imagine them behaving in certain ways off the screen when we don't see them. And there isn't a single character in this movie who I see on screen and think, I could imagine that guy like getting a burger at the Cheesecake Factory, flipping through the menu and deciding, you know, I'm going to get the 1600 calorie Hawaiian burger because that looks tasty. I could there isn't a single character in this movie who I can imagine doing anything aside from serving the function of the plot. And the plot is so simple; it's just save the kid. We have to figure out how to get the kid to the forest. We have to figure out how to get the kid out of the forest, and we have to do it in a way that gets these two murderers dead. Those are the only imperatives in this whole film. And nobody in this movie serves any purpose except for what they need to do in the plot at any given moment. And it's really kind of frustrating to watch. It's really, really frustrating to watch. Leave aside, you know, the watching it at home versus watching it in a movie theater. I feel like this is a movie that would have been nice to see in a movie theater. I bet the sound design is really great with the forest fires and the big lightning storm set piece. I bet that would have been, you know, kind of fun to watch. But just everything about this movie feels lazy and half thought through. And again, like somebody was sitting at the Cheesecake Factory and was like, "All right, I got a movie for you. Forest fire with the client, and they're trying to kill the kid. Go." And they're like, "Okay, sure. Who can we get to be in this?" And they have great actors. I love Angelina Jolie. I think John Bernthal is great. I think Aidan Gillen is very well suited for this sort of role as the crazy killer. Nicholas Holt as the kind of wide-eyed, bug-eyed killer. I like that. I like everybody in this movie. But the movie is bad. It's just bad. It's not. There's nothing to it.
Victor, you're nodding your head.
I am.
Man of the People also hates this movie.
Yeah, I gave the Quadrant score is a B, according to my calculations. So the plot is a B-. Yeah, it's great. I got it. But I would have liked to know why. And
why?
What is in there? What was in the kit? Was it a scrap of paper? Was it a flash drive? I hope it wasn't a flash drive. They were underwater for a long time. And something in a piece of paper that was going to, you know, blow the whole thing right open.
Off all this stuff.
Yeah,
it's
judges and politicians. Duration is an A+. That's a short movie.
Solid hour and 40 minutes.
But almost to the point where it's like, you know what? I could have used 20 minutes of like a little bit of a background to explain what is it the running away. I thought it might be firefighter corruption related, like in Backdraft, right? In Backdraft, there was this great story about the cuts that they're making and Scott Glenn casting revenge on the alderman and this whole thing. Okay, that works. That works. It's ridiculous, but it works. No, we don't know. We just left it. Okay. Violence and Action is an A+, but I'll revisit that later on. And I gave it Sex Nudity a D. I mean, you know, she takes her shirt off. She's beat up and all, but, you know, she has a bra, but not bad for 45. Talk about Angelina Jolie. Watching this movie for me, it felt like a made-for-TV movie. And you know what else? There were some bad special effects. Was it just me or did a lot of the, I'm not saying that they didn't do real fires, but a lot of the fires and explosions kind of looked fake. Yes.
You're right.
It all looks like CGI.
JVL. Looking at it, it just did not look like they set 15,000 acres of forest on fire.
No.
It's like they just used a computer to do that instead of practical. Christopher Nolan. Christopher Nolan directed this, he would have burned all of Montana to the ground.
Christopher Nolan would have bought a state, and he would have burned every tree down in it.
A controlled burn. It's a controlled burn. I did not like the movie for those reasons, as I mentioned. And again, like you said, with Tyler Perry, who's the real boss? You know, who do they answer? Because in the end, the two bad, and I like the people, you mentioned the same thing. Aidan Gillen is great. He's got the beady eyes. He always talks in this way. You know, he has that sort of, as Littlefinger.
Well, because he's trying to hide his Irish accent.
With varying degrees of success. Yes. But I felt like in the end, you know, and it's getting, they're killing all these people, right? It's a huge trail of bodies, and you want to ask them in the end as they're, you know, it's not working out, spoiler alert for them, and you want to say to them, and they're still driven to kill like the kid or whatever, is it worth it? How much are they paying you? You know, I was hoping that like the pregnant woman would get the information from Aidan Gillen, like who are you, the whole thing, and nothing. So we don't get any of that. JVL.
You guys are fucking crazy. It's
Come on.
It's great.
Oh, what?
It's, I mean,
how
look,
can you like, how can you not, like this movie? No, no.
This is not the best movie of 2021, probably.
probably.
But this, it really it was, is. It was some fit Die Hard. It's Die Hard in a forest. It's great. It is a spare piece of movie making, which goes very effectively from moment to moment, has almost no fat on it whatsoever, has 6 characters that I actually cared about. This is the thing.
How could you care about any of these characters?
This is the, of all your criticisms, Sonny, the one I find the most befuddling is the idea that you can't picture any of these people off screen. I can picture all of them off screen. And furthermore, I kind of want a movie with Angelina Jolie and her smoke jumper bros, who we get like 5 or 6 minutes of
in the beginning,
who are hysterical. One of whom looks like Australian. I'm having a brain lock. Bruce Wayne, Dark Knight Returns, Christian Bale. One of them is a Christian Bale lookalike. Everything about it's great.
You weren't left wanting, thinking like, wow, what's going on here and why are they going after them? I mean, it's cool. The action's, like I said, I gave it big points for action, but you weren't left like wanting JVL like to know why.
You know, in a funny way, I really appreciate the fact that, for me, the two parts that I found the most interesting are that Tyler Perry and his character is not the bad guy. He is merely the middle manager for a company that does assassination. And so they are, you know, a third-party consultant to whoever the actual bad guy is. And so these guys work for him. They are his employees. And so when Aidan Gillen and Nicholas Holt go out to see him, he's talking about, like, you know, what they need to deliver to the client. And that's hysterical. And that maybe the most single most interesting moment in the movie is when Gillen and Holt are going from one spot to another, and Aidan Gillen's character complains, "I said from the beginning this should have been 2 teams."
That was funny. That is a funny line.
And it's Nicholas Holt says, "It's a fascinating way to save money." You know? And it's hysterical because what he's doing is, like contractors the world over, right? The client has fucked themselves 16 ways to Sunday and is now facing the end of everything. And even facing the end of everything, they're pinching pennies on the cleanup solution. It's hysterical. How do you not love that? I love the sheriff. John, what's his name?
John Berthal.
The Punisher. I've never seen the guy before. He's great.
Oh, he plays
Lee
Iacocca in Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah, he's in Ford versus Ferrari. He's in The Accountant. Right. Yeah. He's the brother in The Accountant.
He's fantastic in this. And Angelina Jolie is just a movie star. She's magnetic. I mean, she is a real deal leading lady and a movie star. And she's great. And, you know, it's funny you say that about not being able to picture her jumping out of things, because there was one thing there's one moment in it where the suspension of disbelief is really asking too much. And I just thought to myself, oh, come on. And that is when she is tramping through the forest with the kid and she's just in that kind of tight t-shirt and they're sitting by the fire. And she's talking about how one day he's going to be going down the shirt of some other girl. And then they get up and they go hiking. And I thought that kid would not be able to go hiking with a boner like that. No, no way that some 12 or 13 year old kid out in the middle of nowhere with Angelina Jolie while she's talking about him growing up and making out would then be able to like just jump up. It might be the Eddie Murphy routine. Do you remember this, Victorino? You know, Eddie, go up there to the board and no, sir, I'll take an F. You know, and that was a little bit too much.
That didn't cross my mind when I.
Can I suggest one thing?
She looks like she's 28 years old, by the way.
Can I suggest one thing? I think this movie has a main character problem in that Angelina Jolie is absolutely magnetic and 100% a movie star. Least interesting character in the movie by an enormous margin. I found the pregnant wife John Bernthal pairing much more interesting.
She's great.
That was a scary.
We haven't even talked about her. I forget her name, but she's wonderful. And I agree that like the contract killers who are just middlemen getting screwed is like an interesting and kind of funny idea. A whole movie about them, just about them, would have been more interesting. But instead, they're like super competent at the beginning, and then by the end of the movie, they can't kill a single person on the screen, and it's frustrating to watch
because they haven't slept in 48 hours.
It is not a natural. It is. I'm sorry, I didn't buy it. I just didn't buy it. I thought it was cheap, and I thought it was again just characters serving the function of the plot. And the function of the plot is once they get to Montana, they have to be fuck ups.
I don't think they're fucking. They're totally competent throughout things. The whole plan is fraying, and they know it's fraying, and they know that again from the beginning that they are under resourced to handle this. And even says, you know, like, what do we got here? 30 minutes tops, 6 hours, you know. And then Gilden says, I could buy us more time if I like start a big forest fire, but you know, the clients have to be bought in on this. And I know the whole thing honestly felt to me like the process of building a website. And you know, launching while dealing with your, you know, developers and contractors, it was great. And you know, you're right. It has a leading lady, a lead character problem, not a lead lady problem. But it really is an ensemble piece. I mean, I know Angelina Jolie is the picture on the poster, but this is a movie about six characters, and they're in three pairs, and we spend a lot of time with each of the pairs. And I cared about all of them a lot. I was happy to spend it. Every time we jumped to one of the other pairs, I was happy to go there. It was great.
No, you know what would be great?
Terrible.
It would be great if we had a Sub-Beacon intern, right? A Sub-Beacon intern who would go back to every episode that we did a movie and then created a chart of the three of us. It either thumbs up or thumbs down on movies. It's really interesting to see which movies we align with. Like, it's usually 2-1. Sometimes it's all three, but usually it's 2-1 in different ways. I think that's fascinating. I'm surprised. And each
you know, Victorino,
each week,
the way math works, it's almost always going to be either 2-1 or all three.
You never know. I mean, we might all like a movie.
There are
every now and then.
It's always going to be 2-1 or all three.
Yes. But
that's how this works.
Most of the time, it's unpredictable. Who it is. I would not have guessed you liked this movie.
Compared to all of the bad action movies.
Versus last week's movie, which was very much different.
All the bad action movies that we've watched this year, like the Jessica Chastain movie and you know, all these things, which really were just poorly made movies. I thought this was great. The writing was great. The characters were great. The ensemble was great.
It'll be interesting, you're right, to see what... find out what Captain Bill Dwyer thinks about this movie or his friends. Years ago, I did this for the Standard, where I interviewed his unit at the station for a firefighters cook-off competition thing, and I did it as a casual. But I remember we were sitting around and they were talking about their favorite movies at the time. So this is some time ago, right?
Backdraft.
Yes, well, this is funny because they talked about, I think the more recent movie was Ladder 49, which had, I think John Travolta was in that.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yeah, it was more realistic. But the truth is their guilty pleasure movie, as ridiculous as it is Backdraft. Because, you know, it has all these ridiculous lines about shadow and the flame is alive and the whole thing. And they use lines. They throw lines out all the time. Except for the battalion chief, who was an old guy. He liked the Towering Inferno. But everybody else was saying it was Backdraft. I also remember in that conversation asking them about their toughest situations that they've been in. And some of them talked about being on the rooftop of the Pentagon on 9/11. And then they were also talking about like when a floor gives way underneath them. But then it was funny because then one of them was like, oh, well, yeah, who hasn't had that happen to them where the floor gives way? And I was like, yeah, who has it?
Sometimes you're editing a piece and then the piece gets held to the next day, which is a lot like...
Who hasn't had to deal with terrible, annoying writers? Who hasn't had to deal with that?
Which, I mean, basically the samesies in terms of work.
I think it's totally right. All right.
You didn't, Sonny, you didn't love it when Aidan Gillen gets shot at the end by the pregnant survival instructor, and she rushes out of cover with her gun, and he's lying there, and he just yells, for no reason, he just yells, just wait a fucking minute. And he doesn't even know what he's going to say. You know, he's just so frustrated that all this thing has fallen apart around him.
No.
And
here's the thing I didn't like about that scene is that I thought it was a cop out to have her shoot him when he reaches for his gun again. I think she would have just put him down.
Of course she would have. But she was out of
Out of him.
That's why she goes to rack it back. She's going to shoot him while he's down. And she's going to kill him. And it turns out she's out. So they're both racing to reload.
Mm-hmm.
She's 100% going to kill him. That's why she racks the bolt back.
What did she do in their house, in their cabin with the, was
bear
it a fire extinguisher?
It was bear spray.
Bear spray.
And she's, because he says you have to put it the other way.
And so she sprays it into the fire to light it and then turns
and
then it around.
Throws it around at him. Because it's funny that he's half melted face.
He's Harvey Dent.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy.
Yeah. You guys are too hard on this. I will remind you, Sonny.
It's better than Without Remorse, that's for sure. Which Sonny, was also written by Taylor Sheridan and was out on Amazon Prime a couple weeks ago and is terrible.
Sonny, you liked Aquaman. If you go back to the Aquaman episode,
no, I remember
where
Vic
and I are killing it.
I did not.
You were like, that's great. It's got spectacle.
It's fine. It's doing a different sort of thing.
When they're in the desert, I was too insane.
Yeah, when they had that great version of Africa by Pitbull. It's awesome.
I take it back now. That was good. Okay, I think we're good. Do you have any other thoughts on it? Okay.
I believe Jason Momoa is Aquaman more than I believe Angelina Jolie as a smoke jumper. I'll tell you that.
No, I liked her. I think in this.
I think she's great. No, look,
smoke
she's
show.
Great. Oh.
They can't see me. She's pointing. I'm pointing to you.
When she tells the kid to turn around so she can take her shirt off, and his line to her is, "I don't care," and she said, "Do it anyway. We've shared enough."
Yeah.
Come on. You guys are nuts.
Spirit of the week. What are you drinking there, Sonny? I thought you were drinking. Was it a beer?
Diet Dr. Pepper.
Diet Dr. Pepper.
The official drink of Texas.
I saw Diet Dr. Pepper. I was in the office today. That's like one of your legacies.
You thought about me, huh?
Yeah, I said, wait a minute. Somebody used to drink that. Who was it? Corrections, shout outs. I got an interesting one. A listener reminded me that do you remember we were talking about my classmate who was going to jail? Not all white collar criminals go to country club jail, even though this guy probably will. Because Michael Avenatti, do you remember where he got stuck?
Lompoc.
Rikers.
Oh, New York.
Yeah. Okay.
I got a shout out.
Go for it.
To my main man, Ed Condon, who got me for my birthday an Archie Luxury review of my watch collection. Sonny, please drop this link into the...
What is Archie?
Either you love Archie Luxury or you don't. And for anybody who loves watches... And who knows Archie Luxury? This is a delicacy.
It's not a character from a Guy Ritchie movie, for the record.
I felt, upon watching this review on YouTube, I felt like John Candy and Splash running in with the penthouse going, they put my letter in the penthouse. They put my letter in the penthouse. That's how I felt. And Victorino, do you remember the title of John Candy's
letter? Of course I do. A Lesbian No More.
Yes!
It's my second favorite John Candy related thing like that is in Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. He's in the airport at the gate and he's reading a smutty novel. Do you remember the name of the novel?
No.
Canadian Mounted. And there was a woman in the front, like on all fours. There's a woman on all fours, and he's just openly reading Canadian Mounted. John Hughes at his best. Great. Okay. Well,
thank you, Ed.
I'll put a link to this in the show notes, and I defy anyone to get through like 4 minutes of it because I watched about 3 minutes. I was like, what is this?
JVL, I don't.
What is this thing?
Like Triumph. Is what you have to understand is he's like Triumph the Insult dog.
I didn't even get to the insults though. There was like so much preamble. It just like kept going. I was like, God, this thing is 15 minutes long. Cut to the chase, man.
JVL, you don't get. Do you get the print news? Do you get print newspaper anymore?
No.
Okay. The Wall Street Journal. There was a full page ad. I should have brought it down. I don't know where it is. A full page ad in the back of the A section. So that's a really, as you know, that's very expensive to pay for a whole thing for Omega. And it was a giant watch. It's with a green face and it's called Aqua Terra or something like that. I forget what it's called.
The Aqua Terra.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It looked very nice.
Yeah, the Aqua Terra is their version of the Milgauss. It's a sort of heavily
magnetic. Boy, if anyone can see this. Okay. Well, yeah,
never mind.
Thank you. That is all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments, tweet us at Sunny Bunch at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. We're there. Tell your friends. Until next time.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. Does the Aquaman wear an Aqua Terra?
Like Victorino.
Yes.
My octopus teacher.
I don't right. Yeah, question. So I want to dive into this Aqua Terra thing because it's like two different. It's water and land in the same name. I don't understand it.
You'll notice that I don't own Aqua Terra. A Seamaster Aqua Terra.
That's right, it's a Seamaster.
The Seamaster Waterland watch. I don't understand. Is it in the movie with Kevin Costner?
Waterworld?
No, I'm sorry.
Wow.
All right, Victorino.
Yes, you know, we were thinking about what movie to do for this week, and I had been thinking about my octopus teacher because, but Sonny, you say this came out a couple of years ago.
Tell the people what it's about, Victorino. I think there's a lot.
It was nominated for an Oscar.
There was, a lot of movies that get held over because of COVID, but...
It's been out. I'm pretty sure. I'll look it up.
There was
now.
A recent piece on it in the Journal, and so my wife says we should watch this movie. And I said, "What a great idea! We could do it for the show." And frankly, I didn't know my wife was into that sort of thing. And I just said, I hope there's subtitles because I don't speak Japanese.
Anime.
That was it. That's all I got.
Are you kidding?
No, that's all I got. I didn't see it.
September 7th, 2020.
That's
8 months ago.
So it's about this just guy who starts snorkeling.
Yes.
Is really taken with octopuses.
In South Africa.
Diplomatic immunity.
Yes.
And he's so taken with them that he decides that maybe he's going to make a radical lifestyle change. His words, not mine. And go down every single day to visit with this octopus that he finds and who he refers to as she. And the whole thing has such a Troy McClure vibe. I can't even... tell you. I mean, I'm all I did was watch the trailer, and
so
by
did
the
I.
end,
so
what
I
was Wait. Dying to know was, does he fuck the octopus?
Oh my gosh. Also, the suction, I was scared because in the trailer, he's letting it touch him. Doesn't it suck you and then just kill you? Like, sucks the blood right out.
Nah. No? I don't think that's how it works. Either way, I'm sure it's fine.